League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, one to go. 1 hour left of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. The biggest fan of the big show on the planet is back, AJ Hoffman. He'll be doing the show on the Blitz at 4 o'clock with Jerome Solomon.
He's in the building.
Yeah. You hear that?
I do hear that.
That's Joel poking the bear.
I'm promoting his show.
The biggest fan of the big show?
Yeah, because
that's how you promote his show.
He rides it like a bike without a seat. He just constantly does
bike without a seat.
He constantly,
it's that and then the 90 in the books. Yeah. 90. Those are the two things.
I don't know why that gets under his skin. He can't hit because he didn't think of it or something. I don't know. Why does
I don't know
bother?
If it gets underneath his skin, but he definitely loves making fun of it.
No doubt.
And it's so funny because when I told him, I was like, you're joking about it, but you realize how many listeners were like, hey, how come you don't do that anymore? I was like, it became a staple of the show.
Absolutely.
People, I missed it. Nick missed it. Like, we all missed it.
Sounds weird.
Yeah, it's just not the same if you don't do it, so.
Well, and then the one I still don't do it that you guys reminded me that I quit doing was the rear view and the windshield and all that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. All those.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that gets missed. It's a staple. We have to have it.
Okay, there you go. Well, that's why we hope you have to have the suspects every day, because it helps us help you. So we continue to roll on hour number three of the show. Again, just to kind of do a little housekeeping, F Yeah Friday means Comedian of the Week time. If you missed any of our Comedian of the Week, Jeff Joe, go back and check out what you missed. We got another clip coming up at 3:15. Funny dude. Clean as a whistle, too.
He's pretty filthy on stage.
I thought he was sending Morse code during one of those clips.
Beep, beep, beep,
yeah,
beep,
it was.
He sent me one clean one, but the audio was awful. Like, he just said the S word one time.
Mm-hmm.
But the audio was awful. So this was from the contest that he was in. So I wanted to use it, but I was like, damn, Jeff, we got to work on you cleaning it up a little bit. You ain't never going to get any corporate work.
Man.
Not with that mouth.
You got that right.
Man.
So,
did you guys, not to interrupt you, but did you guys see Dolan ban the New York Daily News from covering the RJ Barrett press conference? Yeah, he's essentially banned the New York Daily News from coverage.
Why?
Because they were mean to him?
I feel like he's being a hoe.
Why? I mean, what happened?
The report from the tweet that I've seen is that everybody was invited to the RJ Barrett press conference with an exception of New York Daily News, but all the other New York media outlets was asked to go. And he also said that he effectively banned the New York Daily News from covering the Knicks, which I think is a whole move.
Did he get into it with them or something?
Well, let's think about this for a second. This is a guy that went after a Knicks game last year, had a fan who yelled something along the lines of, you should sell the team. He went back. He was already a half a section away from the guy. He went back at him. He confronted him and then told security to remove him, at which time he wasn't even done then. He made sure he got all the ample information from the guy to make sure he was banned from going back to Madison Square Garden for Knicks games.
Oh.
He's without a doubt. He's without a doubt like a loose cannon. When he gets mad, he doesn't control himself. He comes off that way. I just think I do know, though, that the New York Daily News has gone down in terms of readers, subscriptions, and all that other stuff, but still.
Well, I'm on their website, and you can, like, I just Googled New York Daily News, James Dolan, just to see. Mm-hmm. They have some less than flattering stories about him, but you know what? That's the business you're in. Here's some of the article names. James Dolan, our jerk of the week for taking none of the blame for the Knicks mess. Is the most recent story they wrote. But that was April of 2018. Also, April of 2018, James Dolan continues to remind everyone just why the Knicks remain so dysfunctional. Here's another one. As the Knicks continue their losing ways, there appears to be no end in sight. So, I mean, they're giving them the business, but that's their job, is to talk about that stuff, right?
And New York tends to give everybody the business alongside Philadelphia. I mean, that's just kind of the nature of their
culture.
So, can I suggest something?
This is not a good article.
Go ahead.
Knicks boss James Dolan severed ties from disgraced Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein 16 months ago. Never want to just write it. Oh, here's why. Lawsuit says Knicks owner James Dolan was part of sexual enterprise enabling Harvey Weinstein's misconduct.
No. Oh.
That's not good.
Well, he should ban ESPN then, too. See what they did last night? So ESPN, and you guys weren't watching the draft, but during the draft, obviously, as each team came up for their first selection in the first round, they would say, Team A, who needs shooting guard or a specific position or a certain player that they were after. When the Knicks came up, they simply put everything.
Wow.
And then in parentheses put starters and bench.
Wow.
In parentheses. That was a hammer job.
Yeah.
Subtle, but so look, Dolan can block them from the next press conference. Try that and see how that works when you want national coverage.
Exactly. Hey, speaking of ESPN, mm-hmm. props to them, hats off to them. According to a report, I got this from For the Win. If anybody is wanting the source, forthewin.usatoday.com. According to a report, ESPN will no longer give LeBar Ball any sort of platform on the network after his inappropriate comments to broadcaster Molly Quarum on Monday.
Well, they squeezed all they could out of LeVar because they got a bunch of clicks out of him.
Yeah. I told you. I was the one that was blowing that horn. They need to stop putting him on.
Yeah, well.
I think we all were kind of sick of him on ESPN, let's be honest.
We were sick of him before, too. And I said, look, his track record and everything like that. But, he's a self-marketer, to put it.
They did the right thing, though. I mean, stop giving that dude a platform. They should have made that choice a long time ago, because you knew he was kind of a loose cannon. So you allowed him to get to that position to where now he's starting to lose relevance.
Yeah, I feel like I think the only way that saves him allows him to continue to be relevant if Lonzo actually turns out to be a halfway decent player or a good player or he becomes relevant himself, but. If Lonzo or any of his kids don't perform, you think he's still going to be
Lonzo's
around?
Lonzo's tired of it, too. I think Lonzo was the first one that separated himself from it and just basically was like, I just got to be me, and I got to get out from under this.
Yeah.
Because the other two can't. Because like you said, Nick, until they get an NBA deal on their own, they're going to be riding his coattails. He's got the youngest one playing in Australia, I guess, this next year. That's where he's going to play next after a year in Lithuania.
Yeah. I'm of the belief that after his rookie deal, he will get a deal. It just won't, if he doesn't actually outperform and have a really good last year of his rookie deal, I don't see him really getting super paid or being super relevant. So I think that hurts LeVar because he kind of needs his kids to be relevant.
If you're Lonzo, the best thing you could do this whole offseason is just completely work on your shot, reconstruct your form if you have to. But if you come out opening night or you come out to training camp and people start seeing that you've got good form and you're knocking down shots, you can run your own ship and you can forget about your daddy getting in the middle of your business.
Yeah. I mean, to a certain extent, he has to be wondering, should I have a conversation with him? Because at first, I bet you he was like, you know what? I'm just going to let my dad be dad. But when you're sitting here talking, making inappropriate comments on ESPN, I'm sure like the Lakers or any NBA team that he's ever played for is telling him, hey, this is how you should act. Don't be inappropriate. Don't make these type of comments. And then his dad does it on ESPN. And that's exactly what they tell you not to say, like on all basketball teams. Like that's how they literally instruct and do PR training and say, hey, don't say this, don't say that. So I don't know.
So I don't know if I posted this, but I don't know if you guys saw this too, speaking of Lonzo Ball, but David Griffin's got to start getting some props. David Griffin turned the number 4 pick last night that they got in the Laker trade and turned it into 2 first rounds and a second round last night. So he already got 3 picks instead of 1. And then when the Lakers wanted to expand the deal so they could try and get to another max deal, in the deal, he was able to unload Solomon Hill's $12 million a year contract as well as Anthony Davis's. So when you look at it, and we always talk about the fact that, when you trade a superstar, you rarely get equal value in return. But it might not be equal value, but if I read you this laundry list of what he got just for Anthony Davis, Solomon Hill, and the number 57 pick in a future second. He got Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, number 8 pick of this year's draft, number 17 pick this year's draft, number 35 pick this year's draft, a first round next year from the Hawks, a first round the following year from the Lakers, a 2023 unprotected pick swap with the Lakers, as well as a 2024 unprotected first round swap with the Lakers.
So is this the case of the Pelicans where they're just saying, you know what, I mean, I personally think there's more value in the 1 and the 4 pick than trading the 4 and getting 8, 17, and 35 or whatever it is that he got. Because I think they traded to Atlanta.
8, 17, and 35 is right.
Yeah, they traded 4 and 57 to Atlanta for 8, 17, and 35. And to me, this is almost like the Pelicans just saying, look, all we need, we feel like Zion is going to be a great player. All we need is one of these picks to be a good complementary player. And then because what I'm saying is that I feel like that they were like, it's too risky that 4 may be a flop or may not pan out.
It's just, if
you have 3 picks, then one of those might hit. So there's a better chance, but they're all lower seed. They're all lower picks.
But 8 and 17 are good players. Jackson Hayes from Texas, they're saying that his front line, he's active.
Would you take
him
over DeAndre Hunter? Because that's who went.
I told
four.
You, I thought that was my sleeper in the draft. I thought Hunter.
So
was
what, would you rather have Zion and Hunter, or would you rather have Zion, Hayes, Alexander Walker, and everybody else?
I think because
up?
Of the fact that you're trying to build a squad. And I think that even 2 guys isn't going to be enough for this team. I don't think it was cut and dried. I think that they went to get as many above average players that could grow into something even better over time. And that's why he's just looking to, because he wants to clear out. He would love to gut that whole roster.
So what they're trying to do then is build like the Warriors. They're trying mm-hmm. to draft as many stars as possible.
That's fair, yeah.
So that they can build through the salary cap and get these guys playing long term. So they're just kind of like, the more picks we have, the more opportunities there are for these guys to be great and turn into stars.
And because, whether you believe me or not, or a couple other people had said that Garland for the Vanderbilt kid was another one that could be a sleeper that belonged in the top 4. So when you look at all that and then you look at this and you say, you know what? No, I think that we just need to get as many young players as we possibly can to start building a roster.
So let me play devil's advocate, though, because you have 1 and 4. Can't you also, I mean, unless you're like, yeah, we want to rebuild for the next 3 years, why not get Zion, take your number 4 pick, add a star, get a max contract in to complement those guys, and you probably have a squad that can compete right away. As opposed to trying to build through the draft and start over, it's kind of like split the difference between what the Warriors did and what the Rockets tend to do. The Rockets don't tend to draft. They tend to bring in their stars. They tend to go out and get them via trade instead of via the draft, right?
Yeah.
So why not split the difference? You drafted what you think might be a star. You had that number 1 pick. You had the number 4 pick. Sign those guys. That's not going to cost you much money to begin with. And then go out and bring in a superstar to complement them.
I just think the draw of trying to get a superstar to New Orleans, and again, it's kind of like when we're talking about two superstars that are going places, they're also worried about getting the pub, the attention, all those other things. Mm-hmm. They may be worried about what Zion's going to take away in terms of, because Zion's going to be the head and shoulders star of that franchise, right? For one thing.
Depends on who you bring
early
in.
Early on.
Well, it just depends on who you bring in.
But then the other thing is, from an ability standpoint, I'm not sure he's there yet with some of these proven superstars who want to win now, too. So by the time, you're going to need a window for him to get polished so that you can get him to the point where he can compete.
Okay. Because right. I'm thinking, like, what if you go out and you get, like, a Klay Thompson and add him with Zion,
I don't think he's going
and,
there, yeah,
and
I get
whoever
it.
They get it for, or whoever they would have felt like they needed it for. But I'm just saying, if you bring in a guy with the championship pedigree like that, he's already run 1 ring, so he's not chasing rings. He's tired of being Robin.
Yeah,
he wants to be Batman. He's going to go with a rookie that he's got a chance to help that guy and lead that team. And there are players, I think, that exist out there that they could have done that with. I just question getting rid of a top 4 pick when we just sat here and talked about this yesterday. See, that once you get past 4 or 5 in just about any NBA draft,
but as the I talent told level you, drops I thought it was dramatically. Just, I said it was once you got past 3. Then yeah. It was the level goes down.
But it just depends on who you talk to. Some people say 5.
I'm with you if there was a cut and dried. Like the thing for me was, if he could have paired RJ Barrett and Zion, and they could have, the same 2 guys from Duke could have been together with the Pelicans, then I would have done that deal. But other than that, I'm trying to get as much young talent as I can just to try and rebuild the entire roster. and also unload salary cap. Because getting Solomon Hill's contract off at 12 a year.
So you don't think that there's five really good players in this draft?
I didn't say that. But I think the top three are head and shoulders above everybody else.
So. Well, yeah. But I'm saying if with the fourth pick in the draft, you're going to get a good player if you do it right. Now, you might get unlucky. You might, you know, make a dumb pick. But if you execute it properly and you pick the right player, I certainly think that it would have been two-thirds of a good staff going forward. But
right, we can talk about it. All right, Clarence is lining up, of course, because we're talking Pelicans. But we got more we can get to. So we've got the final hour of the show rolling on. If there's something you want to get to, 713-780-3776. HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'm going to ask y'all this, man, see if I'm not the only one that feel this way, though, man. Have y'all ever been talking to somebody and they just bring up a word that you don't know? So y'all all just walk in dictionaries or something. Nobody's going to acknowledge that. I hate whenever I'm talking to somebody and they say an unfamiliar word. That kill me. My coworker, he ain't show up for work the other day, you know what I'm saying? So when I saw him, I was like, hey, man, what happened to you yesterday? It's like, oh, I had to take my dad to the lobotomist. So I was like, let me ask Siri about this. Hey Siri, what is a dad?
There you go, our final clip from our comedian of the week. Mr. Joe's a very funny guy. Gets his share of cuss words in on the Jeff Joe. You can follow him at Comedian Jeff Joe on Twitter, but admittedly, he doesn't use Twitter as much as Instagram, so it's...
I'm following my own advice and deleting tweets that shouldn't be sent.
Okay. At Sweet Jones with a Z, Sweet, S-U-I-T-E.
Yes, go fun. Very funny dude. Easy. Very funny. Jeff Joe's very funny. If you see him on a show, you should definitely go check it out. He's one of those guys that I saw him kind of starting in the last couple of years. He's really gotten funny. He's, in fact, he probably should have won the contest. Sandra D won the contest, and I'm going to try to get some audio of her too. She's hilarious. So, I mean, it was very close, I think, between the two of them. So,
okay.
Yep.
So there you go. There's the backstory really there. If you missed anything, go back on the podcast, catch up on what you missed. That's always a good thing. We were talking a little bit about the draft before we went to break. There was a plethora of moves as well. Lots of trades. But kudos to Cody Stutes, by the way.
Okay.
So the Big Lead did a story about something that you and I have talked about in the past, which is just get your bleep straight, NBA. Whether the trade's official or not, either don't have the guys wear hats or get the hats right. Because like you were mentioning DeAndre Hunter. DeAndre Hunter was wearing a Laker hat last night.
That's weird.
Because they had the four pick officially, and they started using tweets from other people that kind of agreed with their philosophy that either they shouldn't wear hats or whatever. And they were NBA player here, NBA player there, ex-NBA player here, Cody Stutes.
Really?
He had tweeted about it, and he was like, Mama, I made it on Twitter. And I was like, wow, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
They got him on that.
So. Yeah.
All right, let's... If we're looking at talking Pelicans, I guess we have to. Our resident New Orleans representative, Clarence, wants to talk about the Pels. Clarence, what's up?
What up, guys? First things first, Barry. Dr. Ground 290 says hi. He misses you. Secondly, after I say all this, Barry, I have a Joel, I have a question for you. Okay. But Barry, I kind of sort of disagree with you on just trying to trade up. Why don't you just start and from a foundation and get all these young players? Because you're starting to see now that LeBron's getting older, Chris Paul's getting older. It's not so much one side anymore in the league, and now everyone actually has a chance to win some championships, now that it's getting spread out. So I like that they got a lot of young guys. They could try to build up and, you know, have a lot of cap room, and then maybe if they get some quality veterans up in there, that would be great. Because let's face it, you're not any max players down in New Orleans. You had a plethora of chances while Anthony Davis was here, but no one wanted to go down there. Not one player. Players kept leaving but not coming. And now, Joe, the question I have for you was what along the lines of what you were just saying. One, why is it the – when does the league year start for the NBA?
I believe July 6th.
So why don't they do the draft afterwards instead of before that? Because I'm wondering, are these trades are just in principle or are they fine print?
Here's what I would say to that, Clarence, before you and Barry, because I want Barry to respond. My big thing is don't go after that. Go before. Move it back. Move it back to the end of June. The minute the finals are over, it's over, okay? So then everything starts with the new year, new slate. Get it done. So then by the time you get to the draft a week later after the finals game, and again, you have to make it a hard date. I get that. But again, around the last scheduled finals date and before the NBA draft, have the season end. So therefore, everything is tied up and all trades can be official. Because one way or another, they got to do something to clean it up because it's an embarrassment. The way it's done right now. I mean, I remember when I was a part of it, when the Rockets traded Rudy Gay's rights for Shane Battier because Van Gundy would not play young players. He said that. So whoever we drafted there was going to be traded. But the entire night, our PR staff had to sit with Rudy Gay doing interviews with the Houston media and talking solely about what it's going to be like to join the Houston Rockets when everybody, including Rudy Gay, knew he was not going to be a Houston Rocket. That's embarrassing. Stupid.
It's pretty asinine.
It really is.
Yeah, if you know that's the case, this is a simple fix. This isn't like, oh, well, there's technicalities. No, there's not. This is a simple fix.
Yep.
If you know that the trade is consummated or it's going to happen, it's inevitable, then just let them talk about it. I mean, if you want to call it illegal tampering or whatever it is you want to put your spin on it, but it's dumb to have a guy who on his rookie card and pictures and everything else for the rest of his career is wearing the hat of a team that didn't even draft him. It's asinine in that regard. Yeah, it's dumb bad. To be doing interviews if you know you're not going to be on that team.
And here's the other part.
It's really stupid.
If the network covering the draft knows that these are the trades that are going to happen and where they're going, and even if it's a three-way,
yeah,
and the whole world already knows and it's not a secret, fix it.
Yep.
That's simple.
And just to Clarence's point about, you know, all the draft picks, I'm not suggesting that what they're doing doesn't make some sense. I'm just saying that once you get outside of five, I think if you go look at the history of the NBA draft, outside of the top five players, it's pretty spotty. It's pretty hit or miss. So if you're trading down to 8, 17, and 35, the chances of any of those guys being worthy of sticking around starts to lower exponentially as you get outside of the top 10 and outside of the top 15. And so you went outside of the top five where you had two of the top five to drop down to have two of the top 10. Then I don't know. I'd take my chances with going 1-4 and maybe adding a max contract somewhere else, but that's just me.
There you go. Nick, you got anything on that?
No, I agree, because you talk about, you know, some of the great names we see today, like Kawhi and Kobe. They weren't necessarily the top five draft picks. So, no, I
so you disagree with me, is what you're saying?
No.
No, because I'm saying you should have stayed in the top five.
No, I'm saying I agree with you in the fact that the talent level significantly goes down after outside the top five. Because you look at some of the, like Kawhi is a classic example. He wasn't a top five pick, but he's widely considered as the top five, maybe even a top three player based off last season. So that part I agree with for sure. And I'm with you on the fact that, you start to lose a lot of value. I don't know if value is the right word, but you start to lose a lot of talent if you don't get a pick in the top five. I can see that totally. Because everything else is, you don't know if this guy's going to develop. A lot of guys develop 18, 19, 20, 21, and it's like a growth spurt except for like skills and talent. And then all of a sudden you say, you know what? This guy is a starter. This guy is potentially a star.
You do get what I was saying too, right? About the fact that as we had talked about yesterday, the talent level in this draft, it's not that it isn't talented. It isn't that they're going to produce a lot of guys that end up making rosters and in rotations. But I'll give you the example. If I'm New Orleans and I got 1-4 and it's the drafts that we were talking about yesterday and it's LeBron and then my choice of one, or I end up getting one of the three of D. Wade, Chris Bosh, Carmelo Anthony, it's a whole lot different than do I think Garland Hunter or Culver from Texas Tech may turn into an all-star type player. As opposed to, I think that used to be there was a lot of sure things in the top. You and I talked the top 10. There used to be probably 6-7 guys that you go, that's a surefire all-star.
Okay.
If your name's not Darko Milicic. But now you look at it, and I think most of the draft picks, and in this year's draft, in my opinion, outside of the top three, everything else is based on potential. And even the top three, there's some that are based on potential.
I'd be interested to see statistically how many all-stars, we don't even have to say Hall of Famers, mm-hmm. but how many all-stars
were in every first round?
Yeah. And outside of inside of the top five, inside of the top 15.
I would love to see
inside
that.
Of the top 15. Because if the top 15 is just loaded with all-stars, then the Pelicans nailed it. But if those numbers go from, 70% to 40% when you go from the top five to the top 10, I think they took a big risk.
And that's fair. And I would love to see the numbers, because here's the other thing we got to take into consideration. From draft to draft, year to year, the talent pool is so different that maybe next year you do get seven guys that are surefire. But the problem is that ever since they went to the one and dones and the kids coming almost literally out of high school with little maturity and experience, it went to where the draft is now based on potential. It used to be if you had the number one pick, and Zion's the exception this year, but there was like a LeBron at the top of the draft every year,
uh-huh.
and it's just not the case anymore.
I mean, I know we got to go, yeah. but I'm like looking at a site that has like the history of the number six. It has the history of every pick.
Uh-huh.
Boy, when you get to number six, I don't recognize half of these names.
At least there was a top five that was worth it. That's
yeah.
So, okay. We'll continue to roll. We got a half hour to go in the big show. So, we got lots more to get to. If something you want to join us with, 713-780-3776, HRP Lister Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more ESPN 97.5. That tonight's gonna be a
good night. I hear this. You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final half hour of the show. 30 minutes on the clock. We take you till 4.
Warm.
Blitz takes you till 7.
We were talking, and he kept trying to tell us that he's going to go hot with the mics. And we're like, no. And he was like, mics are hot-ish, hot, sorta. Warm. The mics are lukewarm. The mics are, okay, they're cold. You guys, shut up. The mics are hot.
I did hear Jose do it for Charlie. It's totally different. At least hot. Nick is very, direct.
Does he spell it with a J?
Hot. No.
J-O-T.
Jose's kind of like, and hot.
Like jalapeno? J-O-T? No.
But it's like, it's yacht. Delicate.
Yacht. That wasn't appropriate. Huh?
It's delicate with
it
those.
Does?
Like, and you're hot. And I'm like, wait, what?
The mics are hot if that's what you
I
want,
walked
Charlie.
In the production room, okay. He's like, and you're hot. And I'm like, no, Nick goes, hot.
And then Nick
kind of gives
us
a wake-up call. It's like caffeine in your ear. Okay, we're going. Let's go.
When I produced for Palillo, he always turned his mic on and off by himself, so I didn't even know that he would do that.
Jose's kind of meek about it, huh?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I can tell you this, Jose.
It's hot if you want it to be, Charlie. Otherwise, it's cool. It's whatever. I'll just be over here.
It's dangerous with based on the volume level that Charlie leaves his headset on when I put my headset in every day, and Barry laughs. The fact of the matter
it's
is,
wild.
I don't think Charlie can hear And he probably cues himself because he has to go by nonverbals looking in there because he can't hear. The volume is on 56 in each ear when I plug in my headphones.
So some of that has to do with probably crappy headphones. Like, I'm surprised your volume isn't higher because you don't even wear the damn things.
You want to talk about headphones?
Huh?
You want to talk about headphones?
Talk about headphones.
Yeah, let's get into this.
Oh, about my
dire? How many times you just peter out in the middle of a segment? And you're like, we're in the middle of a segment, and you hit the off button on your mic, you're going, what is going on?
It is kind of true. No, your headphones is like carbureted.
Look, you just made it get louder because the headphone box is broke.
I'm happy to help.
No, my headphones do die because they're battery operated.
You got to charge them.
Yeah, I got to charge them every once in a while. So I forget, and then they just die in the middle of the show, and then I just plug them in. The bad part is when the box here... And when the box is like, it's staticky. You know how sometimes stuff will cut in and out and you gotta give it a little bit to, that's how this box works. And so, but you don't even wear your headphones.
I do. I wear them on one ear.
You have one on your...
It's right here on my ear.
Okay.
But there have been times where he had both of them off of his ear.
He used to do the show.
Yeah, he still does it every once in a while, but not as much.
And now you're like...
Not as much.
Like, Joe, do you know? Joel, do you know we're coming back? And he'd be like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Well, you're not even wearing your headphones. I'm not sure that you know."
Well,
you know
what? Because I got that from the Rockets days. Because all I needed was the initial cue that that when Craig was on, and it was only the segments in game. Otherwise, I didn't need it because I was going back and forth with my producer, and I was doing the whole segment by myself. So it was just for ins and outs at the very end, and there was no time on it. I could take the break whenever. So that's why I just used to slap them on top of my head.
Yeah. But also, I think that Charlie has them. He's been in radio since it was invented, and that's a long time.
And that's true. That could be harsh on your ears.
And that can, you know.
Your other point's better.
Which one?
If you don't value the comfort of your feet enough to slap yourself in 27-year-old Skechers, you're not going to invest in an expensive pair of headphones. You're going to steal something from the airline.
So I think is that what he did?
No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying something along those,
those
lines.
Those ones that just clip over the ears like a
hook?
Or
with the foamy foam? Yeah. Like back in the day.
The old Walkman
with the
foam?
Old Walkman. Yes! Absolutely right.
Yeah, the orange foam?
Yep.
Yes, that could totally see Charlie doing that. I got these off of Spirit. No, you didn't, because you probably paid way too much. You could have got some Beats if you had to get some Spirit headphones. But I think it's a combination, because I've noticed, like, AJ's headphones, when I use them, are real, like, it's hard to hear in them. And then, so you have to turn it way up. Then when you have good headphones, like, I think yours are pretty good headphones.
Yeah.
So when you get good headphones, you plug them in, it's really loud compared to the crappy ones they were using. Plus, those guys have been doing this forever, and their ears are probably shot, especially Charlie.
Those headphones, too, are way less... In terms of quality, the headphones now, they're way healthier, safer, noise cancellation.
Yeah.
Way clearer. It doesn't need to be turned up as much to,
Now, I'll be honest with you. I got two pairs that are above average, but I will not use my really, really good ones for work every day and beat them up.
That's what these are?
I just use my really, really good ones for for travel and when I just off work time.
Oh, see. I don't know. I like to hear things clearly, and
I still hear. You know, I'd say these are above average, so
yeah.
I hear things clearly. But I'm going to save my best pair for just.
I like these that these are noise canceling too. So when you get on my nerves, it breaks. I can just ignore you.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
You ever been proposed to?
Speaking of not getting on, there was this list that came out: 27 co-stars who hated each other. Oh. When I saw,
funny you brought it up now.
Maybe that was a professional segue, Joel.
Okay. No question.
Okay. That was a good one. You got me there. All right, so 27. Some of these surprised me. Some of them didn't. Some of them I didn't really care about. But the first one, did you ever watch Sex and the City?
Not really. I know who's in it.
Sarah Jessica Parker and Kim Cattrall.
I heard Kim Cattrall is like a rare.
She didn't get along with anybody, according to this article. In fact, when she found out that Sarah Jessica Parker made more than her on the last episode, that's when she got really pissed off.
Why was she shocked?
I know, like Sarah Jessica Parker
was the star. Show centered around her, right?
Did you ever see The Notebook?
No. Right, thank God.
We'll move on.
Thank God. I've heard, but never had to watch it.
X-Files.
Long time ago,
Agent
but yeah.
Scully and
David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson did not get along.
Two main stars of the show, right?
Says, reflecting on her long relationship with Duchovny, Anderson once said that, quote, there were periods where we hated each other. She immediately backtracked and talked about how the problems were mutual, and the two have made up since then. But Some of these, where did it go? I told you this was one of the most disappointing. Bill Murray and Lucy Liu and Charlie's Angels. Did you seen Charlie's Angels?
Nope.
Really?
Nope. I mean, I know who was in it.
I can see how Bill Murray could be annoying.
Bill's a really eccentric guy. I've told you guys this before. I've met him on two separate occasions, and you're expecting this guy that's hyper funny and, you know, off the cuff and kind of loosey-goosey like he is when he plays golf at Pebble Beach. He's quiet. He's kind of aloof, and it's really weird.
He said that he had made a comment that Lucy Liu was a terrible actress to her face.
Oh, my.
Said she couldn't act, and then she swung on him.
Good
and
for her.
They were like fist fighting. Now, I don't think he punched her back, but they had to be separated. But apparently, they didn't get along at all.
Wow.
I know this one's going to be devastating to you.
Okay.
I know this one is. Jeannie Garth and Shannon Doherty. Jenny Garth. And Shannon Doherty of Beverly Hills 90210.
Well, everyone's that you mentioned, I can tell you who the witch is.
Yeah.
Because everybody said Shannon Doherty was a witch.
Okay. Yeah. See if you can guess this one.
Okay.
Nick, this is gonna devastate Nick.
I bet.
B. Arthur and Betty White on the Golden Girls.
It's gotta be B. Arthur, because Betty White is just gold.
On the Golden Girls. It says all four Golden Girls had some level of hostility between them.
Really?
But it was the worst between B. Arthur and Betty White. They were friends who grew apart when White won an Emmy. Arthur's jealousy flared and things were never the same.
Hmm.
Kelly Ripa and Michael Strahan.
She doesn't get along with anyone either.
Does she not?
She didn't get along with the previous.
With Regis Philbin?
No. I think she got along with Regis, but after Regis it all was... Yeah, who was...
There was another guy that left.
No, you know what, Nick? You're thinking of Strahan.
Because, that's what I'm thinking about.
That was pretty well documented.
Well, he jumped ship to go to Good Morning America.
Yeah. Which was the right move.
Yep. Oh, definitely move. And it made her mad because he didn't warn her. He went Magic Johnson, and she found out when he was doing a press conference.
To the point where I think she didn't even do a show. I saw the show where she made her first appearance back after she finally
and she
got over
talked
it.
About it on air, which is a no-no too, about how upset she was. Yep. And now she does it with Mr. American Idol. What's Ryan
Seacrest?
Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
Janet Hubert Witten.
Nope.
And Will Smith.
Oh.
In The Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Was she the auntie?
Yeah.
Wow. Aunt Did not Bev. Know that.
She wasn't going to do anything about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air because he was the star.
Money has caused an unimaginable number of fights, and the set of The Fresh Prince was no exception to this rule. While undergoing salary negotiations, Hubert asked Smith to help the rest of the cast get better pay. He left them to look out for themselves, and he's had to watch his back ever since.
Well, they wanted to do a reunion, and I knew that there were a couple cast members that said, under no circumstance, I'm not doing it. She was one of them.
There was two Ann Vivs, right?
Maybe.
I think
possibly,
there was. I'm trying to remember if she was the good Aunt Vivian or the bad Aunt Vivian.
I just know that there were. I think she was one of the cast members that said, "I'm not doing a reunion show."
Well, I guess we see why now. It surprised me a little bit to hear that about Will Smith because you know he's always so positive, and people always look to him as inspirational.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's doing inspirational messages and he talks all these.
He did with Nick
talks
with Aladdin.
A good game.
Huh? Yep. Look what he did with Nick with Aladdin.
Gong.
You loved Aladdin.
I did love Aladdin.
He didn't rub the lamp. I'm talking about just what he did in the movie.
Oh, there's the two Aunt Vivs. Which one were you? Were you the first Aunt Viv or team second Aunt Viv?
I think the more appropriate Aunt Viv was the first one.
Yeah, that was team Aunt Viv one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a little bit surprised to hear that Will Smith was kind of a D-bag about money. Glee. You're a big Glee fan, huh?
Nope, never saw it.
You never watched Glee?
Nope.
Not going to lie. My wife made me watch Glee.
Oh, stop it. You wanted to watch it. You didn't,
no,
she
I got
didn't
into
make
it,
you
though.
Watch anything.
No, I got after I
I've been
it.
Told by multiple dudes that it's a good show.
After I started watching Glee, loved Glee.
Really?
Yeah. There was some hot chicks on Glee, too. Don't sleep on that. And they are of age. One on the left.
One on the left doesn't look anything.
Naya
who's
Rivera.
Who's the one on the right?
You like her better?
No, who's the one on the right?
Lea Michele.
Yeah, Lea Michele. I knew the face.
Yeah. They got into it.
Wasn't Lea Michele the one who was dating the guy that committed suicide?
Oh, really?
On Glee? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There was a dude that committed suicide on Glee.
Nah, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You can look that up.
The rest of these are kind of blah. We can move on.
I was actually, you guys were shocked. I watched a lot of baseball last weekend, and the broadcast between A-Rod and Shombi.
John Shombi.
I haven't seen any reports. You can tell from the broadcast, A-Rod and Shombi absolutely hate each other. They cannot stand each other.
And we've said, we've had Shombi on once. You and I both talk. I think Shombi does a hell of a job. I think he's really, really good.
So A-Rod thinks he sucks.
Wow.
It's pretty bad. Like, he'll say, like, this long-ass statement or comment, and he would want A-Rod to, like, respond and add a comment of his own.
Yeah.
And then A-Rod would be like, man, you mumble a lot. Literally, on the broadcast.
Yeah. Sounds like you and me, Joel.
Yeah, you do.
You know what? They'll work it out.
They kind of have to.
Hey, they didn't have Bosom Buddies on that list with Chris Paul and James Harden?
No, they didn't exist. By the way, Scott Deer Park, chill, homie.
Yeah, he was online for a while.
What happened? He was online and
then he hung up. He said, oh, love all the NBA talk while I'm on hold for 15 damn minutes beating a dead horse. Rather have U of H preseason football talk.
See, sorry. That's where you messed
up
there.
Sorry, Scott. The show doesn't revolve around you. Wow. It wasn't called the Scott and Deer Park suspects.
I bet you got another name you want to add to that executive producer list, don't you?
I mean, bro, like, we're trying to get to you. We would have got to you. We got to Clarence's call eventually.
I mean, I'm a coug, but UH preseason,
sometimes,
bro.
Sometimes we get to you, sometimes we don't, man. It's all good. Like, dang.
The tweet was fine. It was just a UH preseason thing.
No, it was the fact that he was bitching about being on hold. Oh, let's all stop the show.
And he said he wanted to talk NBA. What were you going to offer that we didn't already offer up? Just asking a question.
Well, I said the dude in Glee. Scott. Boom Boom said the dude in Glee overdosed on heroin. I thought he killed himself.
Wasn't he the one too?
Because of child porn.
I don't know about child porn.
I think it was child porn.
I'm not playing that card, but...
One of these TV stars. Look how general that is. One of these TV stars.
Hey, resident Nets fan Joseph Martinez throws it out. Tommy Beer and Brian Windhorst say the Nets are gaining confidence. They'll sign Kevin Durant. Kendrick Perkins says Nets are front runners for Kevin Durant. Ooh. And Windhorst adds... Perkins is not the only person involved in the NBA that has told me that.
Ooh.
So stay tuned for that. If he and Kyrie go there, that could get interesting. All right, one segment to go on the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the show on an FYF Friday. We appreciate you listening for another strong week of The Suspects. We'll be on Monday, I-10 in Kirkwood, Twin Peaks location, if you want to stop by and hang out with us in person. We'll be there till 4. Blitz will be there till 7. I believe Fred will be back on Monday.
The 26th.
Oh, so Fred's still out.
Yes.
So it'll be AJ and a cast of characters again.
I think he comes back on the 26th.
Oh, wow.
It was in the email that I read, and you obviously did.
That's the first time that's happened.
You
want to clear up your Glee? One character did commit suicide. The other one OD'd on heroin.
Yeah, there was one that OD'd on heroin.
Marie Monteith or something like that.
Yeah, and then the guy that played Puck, Mark Salling, is the one that was found with 50,000 images of child pornography on his computer, on a USB drive, and he later hung himself before having to go through sentencing and all that. He was due to be sentenced on March 18th. He hung himself January 30th. That was of 2018.
It's the last segment.
Huh?
I got a lot to say, but I'm not going to because it's the last segment.
It's pretty disgusting. I don't understand that.
I don't either.
I mean, I would hope that it's all... something mental you can't control. Because if that's a choice, that's a disgusting choice.
It's very prevalent in the news.
Yeah.
And I'll just say this. I had opinions before, but once you have kids.
Oh, yeah.
Baby.
Demetri said, did you guys see the kid from Atascocita got picked at 33?
He can play. He's going to Boston, too, from Purdue. Cam Edwards. Kid can play, and I think it's the right situation for him. They've turned less than – overly tall players into stars, Isaiah Thomas and others. I think Boston, and they might need a point guard. And their guard play might be open. It's a good spot for him.
Yeah. Besides Jerry Rocha and Barry, Jeff Joe has been the funniest you guys have featured on this show.
There you go.
Look at Jeff getting his love. Good for you, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad. Go follow him on Twitter or Instagram. Support him. That's the whole point of me doing this every week.
Good.
The whole point of me featuring these comedians every week is so that you guys get introduced to them. And if you like one of them, then go. In fact, when I did my show last week at the Joke Joint, Walt brought out his lovely wife. They've been to several of my shows. They said they heard Keisha Hunt on the show and then went and saw her several times and all that. So that's the whole point. If you if you hear something you like, please support them.
Absolutely.
It's not just to fill time. It's to get these comedians locally some exposure so that they, the rest of the city can see them and hear them and know and go and support them.
We were talking about this earlier and we were having some fun with it, but if you guys haven't seen it, it's making the rounds on social media, but I caught it yesterday. One of the funniest things I've seen in a while. This dude goes like he's going to propose to his girl in public. It's like a deck overlooking the water.
Big deck? Was it like a huge deck?
Okay, Jeff Fox.
Massive deck? You'd have been all over that
deck.
Gets
down on one knee. Looks like he's hiding a jewelry box. Girl gets all kind of shy. And ooh,
I can't believe it.
And instead of a jewelry box, he just turns over his hand and gives her the finger and stands up and says basically, F you. And F you for telling all everybody, your friends and everybody else, that I went down on you on your period.
Oh, my God.
It was awesome, because these people are filming like they're going to get this wedding proposal. And also they're like, oh!
But you hear one of the chicks is like, oh, bitch, in your face.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
Now, I didn't know if she was talking to the dude or the chick.
Oh.
Now you get it?
Yeah,
okay. Took a second. That's okay. The amazing thing is that, like, you already, so now only a few people knew, only the friends, but I want to know who's telling the truth here. Is he now admitting to it, but you didn't have to go tell everybody? Or is he saying, you're a liar and I would have never done that and this is what you get for lying to your friends?
I think he yells at one point during the video, you're a liar.
Oh, did
he?
Yeah.
But why would she go around and say that, though?
I don't know why. Yeah, why is that a point of braggadocio? To be able to say, yeah, my man, go. No.
Yeah, when Aunt Flo was in town.
That's damn. Nasty.
Like, I mean, all right, if you're a vampire, it's not that big of a deal. But if you're not a vampire, this
Yeah. The red.
We need to end the show so I can throw up.
There is no set. There is no way.
Would you
shape,
do
or
that?
Form. No, are you kidding me?
No. Would you like give her the finger and do the whole fake proposal thing? Not though.
I wouldn't do that either.
I wouldn't do.
I'm not a
you're
fan
putting
of the
yourself
red
on blast.
I wouldn't do what he's being accused of, but I would certainly call her out like that or in some way.
Because I think you're right. Like, there's two trains of thoughts. One would be like, is he saying it like he's admitting it?
Yeah.
Or is he saying it because she's a liar?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. I want the clarification.
That's
first.
Why I wouldn't admit it. I wouldn't say that. I would not even attempt.
But, see, I would have to because you don't. When he does it, when he gives her the finger, he says, "That's what you get for telling all your friends that I went down on you on your when you were on your period." But he doesn't say for lying to all your friends.
I thought at one point, I thought either before that or after that, he might have said something about that.
But see, I'm gonna mix it into that one part because that's what's going viral. Then there's no
Man,
question. That's kind of hoish to go out and tell people, though. She deserved that. And now.
Damn, Barry, you could have a V8.
Oh, bro.
I just wanted to leave a bad taste in your mouth when we wrap up the
my
show.
God, Joel.
All right.
You're
all right. All right, enough. Right. Hey, you guys, thanks for everything for another great week on The Usual Suspects. So we'll be back again on Monday to get another week started, and you guys can be a part of it. I-10 and Kirkwood at Twin Peaks on Monday. Yeah. We will be there. But in the meantime, the Blitz is coming up next. AJ's back. Fred's still out. So Jerome Solomon is in the chair here, and they'll take you home till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.
The and I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.